Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. It is 308, 77 degrees on this Thursday, May 1st, 2025. It's May Day. How's everybody doing? And the first sunset that happens at 8 o'clock. No more pre-8 o'clock sunsets here in Northeast. Anyway, each day just keeps getting longer and longer. How's everybody doing? You can listen to us on 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. That free Odyssey app, you download it at your app store. You can also play us on your smart speakers at home. And just tell them little suckers to play WILK News Radio, and it will, just like that. Don't have to turn your radio on, don't have to tune to anything. You just let those little smart speakers do it for you. Isn't technology great? A lot of moving parts the past 24 hours. A lot of moving parts in the world the past 24 hours. There's information coming out of China that they're being squeezed by the tariffs and they're now open to talks. We'll see how that comes to fruition. And we said from the start they really couldn't hold out for too long. They were trying saber rattle, but they really are too dependent on us to let this go on further. So hopefully there's some leeway and some negotiations and some more common ground there. But yesterday, I shared this with a couple of circles that I'm in, former military and such, where there was an unusual message from the Secretary of Defense last night, just before 9 o'clock p.m. And it was an odd time, but if you know the time difference, it's really not an odd time. But the time difference at that point really didn't make a difference, but I think they wanted them in Iran or in the Middle East to see this in real time rather than reading it the next morning. So just before 9 o'clock last night, the Secretary of Defense writes, "Message to Iran. We see your lethal," and lethal is all capitalized, "support of the Houthis. We know exactly what you're doing. You know very well what the U.S. military is capable of, and you were warned. You will pay the consequences, again, all capitalized, at the time and place of our choosing." And then there was a follow-up post that shared President Trump's warning to Iran that they will face uncertain shock and awe if they continue down the path they continue. Military experts don't see this as an idle threat. Now, what it means for our men and women in military, what it means to us, could be anything from, striking a strategic point in Yemen. We've hit the Houthis in the past 3 months, since March 31st. Since March 31st, not even 3 months. We've hit the Houthis over 1,000 times. So we're finally fighting back. In the past, under the last administration. Now, listen, the Houthis are firing anti-ship ballistic missiles, surface ballistic missiles, and drones at our ships on a daily basis. This is happening on a daily basis, and it has been for well over the past 10 months. They don't get very close. Now, evasive actions are taken when missiles are fired at you, even though you're shooting them down miles. By miles, I mean 3 to 7 miles away from you, are being intercepted and shot down, and then we're retaliating. Where in the past we weren't retaliating. The standing orders from the past administration was, well, they didn't hit anything. We shot them down. No harm, no foul. Let's just continue our mission. And we weren't striking. You know, every once in a while we would hit an empty tent in the desert to say we did something, but we weren't striking targets that mattered. Well, now we are. Now we are, and they are still continuing to fire missiles at a less scale. But we just saw this past weekend that the aircraft carrier, the Harry S. Truman, had to take evasive actions. And during normal, and they take evasive actions anytime a missile is fired at them. Once the missile is detected heading in their direction for their trajectory, it's standard operating procedure to take evasive action. And that's what they do. Well, they caught them at a bad time here where they were moving a plane with one of the plane tugs or tractors, whatever you want to call it, and lost control of that plane that was in the hangar deck, which is down below where the elevator takes the planes for maintenance, and it fell off the side of the ship. Now, these aircraft carriers can move very fast. They can turn very quickly. A lot of people don't realize that. They're like, oh, how can a plane fall off a ship? If you've ever seen the operations, and I really encourage you to go to YouTube and look at, you know, deck operations of an American aircraft carrier and to see how coordinated and busy that area is. They literally, you know, taxi those planes to within inches of the front wheels hanging off the side of the deck because that's the only way they can fit 90 aircraft on the deck. So this is what's been going on. We all know that Iran's the funding, the head of the snake in that area. And there were meetings scheduled with the United States and Iran for this weekend that have now been canceled. And this warning last night from both the president and Secretary of Defense. So what does this mean? Again, a tactical strike within Yemen to maybe hit Iranian assets, maybe an Iranian asset in the Red Sea. They do have ships out there that are just monitoring our ships. They're staying far away, but they're out there. They're intelligence ships for the most part. Do we take one of those out or do we strike inside Iran proper at one of their nuclear facilities or something else? We don't know, but we could very well wake up this weekend sometime and see that we've struck either Iran or a surrogate of Iran as a warning or as a message, a final message. What that entails, we don't know. But all we do know is that there was a stern message given last night that basically said, you know, you will pay the consequence at a time and place of our choosing. Not you may, not you could, you will. So again, we'll have to monitor that and see what happens there. But that was pretty concerning last night coming out just before 9 o'clock because that doesn't happen for just any reason. That's just not normal messaging to say, hey, Iran, we're watching you and we're going to hold you accountable. Not the timing and not with the talks this weekend that have been canceled now because of this. And Trump today coming out and say any nation that's buying oil from Iran will not do business with the United States. Any nation who's buying anything from Iran will face double tariffs from the United States. So they're not playing games here. And what that entails, I guess only time will tell, but we'll see. But it's something I'm obviously going to monitor and bring to you as soon as I know. The other thing we have is the Mike Waltz issue today, which a lot of things. First of all, you had the Democrats. You even had the Democrat account on X. The Democrats, their official account for the Democrats, trying to spike the football on Mike Waltz looking for a job. And then it turned into, okay, he was not going to be the director of national intelligence anymore, but he is going to be he is already nominated to be the ambassador to the UN, that position that Elise Stefanik was going to take, but her position in the House right now is too pivotal to lose, so she is not taking that position, but Mike Waltz is. Now, you could read into this a couple of things. He was the factor of the signal gate where left-leaning journalist was added to that chat, and it was him or his staff member. Now, supposedly, both of them were relieved from the Department of National Intelligence. What relieved actually means at this point or transferred, who knows? But basically, it's like, hey, this was a big screw-up, and someone needs to pay for it. You're still a trusted ally of the administration. We don't want to, you know, send you to the curb, so we're going to move you somewhere. Where's vital? If anything, Mike Waltz has been accused of being too tough on Russia and China. At this stage in the game, I would much rather a Mike Waltz as ambassador to the UN than as the director of national intelligence, because I think he can have much more direct contact, much more direct conversation with the world as the secretary of the United Nations, as the ambassador of the United Nations, especially with everything that's going on with Russia and Ukraine and now Iran. And Iran is no doubt on the table right now as far as a possible adversary by week's end, by the end of the weekend. We also had yesterday, towards the end of the show, this U.S.-Ukraine long-awaited mineral deal, rebuilding deal, infrastructure deal. There's a lot of details to it. It's out there. I'm going to post the details in full on my social media probably after the show today. They have been sent to me by the White House. I do have them in a media release. They're very detailed. There's a lot entailed there. It's not just a mineral deal. It's also a rebuilding deal. You know, because they are now selling us these rare earth minerals, we are paying for them. They're going to use that as an infrastructure rebuild program post-war. After this, after we hopefully move forward from what has been going on, there has been both give and take on both the Russians and the Ukrainians as far as what territories remain, what territories, you know, go back. So, again, it's very detailed, but it's a good sign. It's a step in the right direction, especially with a lot of other things going on. So there's a lot of positive in a very short amount of time. You know, over the past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of unknown, and that goes for me, that goes for you. Some people want to monopolize on that for political gain. Some people want to use it to point fingers and say, ha ha, we told you so, or no, you know, this is just the precursors for a better time. And you're both right for doing that. We are all allowed to have our opinions of where this goes. If we do come to an agreement with China, if these 17 nations, 18 nations that are supposedly on the cusp of a deal come through in the very near future, things are going to turn around very quickly as far as that argument goes. If we strike Iran in any way, you know, that opens up a new unknown for a lot of pieces. After Israel struck Iran and took out most of their air defense systems, there was really not much. There was a lot of saber rattling. Yes, they shot, you know, 600 missiles at them, but not a single one really hit any target. So, yes, for them, they were able to say, "Hey, we shot 600 missiles at the infidels, and you know we're victorious." And that's their angle on it. So, you know, we could be. And could is the big word there. And again, we're only 100 days into this administration, just 102 days to be exact. But there's a lot of positive on the horizon if things go in the right direction. Now, they very well might well not. You know, we could strike Iran and it can open up a whole hornet's nest. I don't think it would be anything too crazy that obviously we can't handle. We obviously could. But with everything else going on, once you start putting all these pieces on the table, is it too much for the American public to take? The American public is already, on both sides, is very cautious about this tariffs. Now, if you listen to not just people who want to stir up your passion and your anger, there is a positive horizon to it. You know, we've been through this in 2017 with tariffs. It wasn't as pronounced as this. The world really didn't know what they were dealing with the Trump administration. And the tariffs were working, and then COVID came. Now you have a different world. You have nations banding together and say, well, we're going to hit you back with tariffs and we're going to wait you out. And we're going to see if we can wait out the American people and the American media from stirring up panic, the ups and downs in the stock market, and hopefully get you to cave. Now, there has been some of that, especially with the auto industry. But in addition, you've also seen the auto industry spending hundreds of billions of dollars to move production back to America. Again, the whole point of tariffs. Right now, my number one concern in the world as an American is what these messages to Iran means. What do we wake up to the other day? And that could be more so because I have children serving in the military, but it also is the world we live in. And there are also very dangerous people that have been given access to our nation over the past 4 years that we don't know who they are. I don't think Iran is the adversary that they've been made out to be. I'd be much more concerned if it was Russia, China, or North Korea. but they are also not insignificant. And the last thing we need after the past two decades is another war in the Middle East. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully it's more strategic and overwhelming to where it doesn't get to that. My guess is it would be. But I guess we'll all have to see. It's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:25. Got a text message. You can call a text, 570-883-0098. Got a text message. Rob, weren't people against voting for Kamala because they thought she was a warmonger and would start a new war? Why are we okay with picking fights with Yemen, Iran, et cetera, et cetera? Well, we're not picking fights. We're responding to them. They've been shooting missiles at us for over a year. It's about time that we started responding to that. And there's a multitude of reasons with Iran, the red line of their nuclear program, and the fact that they are actively supporting the terrorists who are shooting at our military ships. So it's not picking fights. It's ending them. So we have a little more information that came out about the boy in Oliphant, a 12-year-old who was shot by a 14-year-old during some sort of dispute. That's what it's coming across now. He is in critical but stable condition. He is expected, the last I heard, to be okay, but has a long road ahead of him. They still consider him fighting for his life because he still has a gunshot wound to his chest. And it's crazy that this has even happened. But they've organized a GoFundMe page, and you can check it out in the Times Tribune. They did a story on it. And it tells a little more about the story. That is, 14-year-old shooters charged as a juvenile with attempted murder, aggravated assault, related counts, according to Lackawanna County District Attorney. The child's name, and it's given in the story, but I'm not going to give it. It's 12-year-old boy. It was flown to Geisinger Janet Weiss Children's Hospital in Danville with a bullet wound to his chest, a collapsed lung, and other serious injuries, according to this GoFundMe page. A family friend wanted to do something to help, so she posted a GoFundMe campaign, Hearts for Bentley, Surviving Gun Violence. She said that he was walking family dollar with his brother and friends to get some snacks for a movie night. A couple of kids decided to pick a fight. Now he's in a hospital bed, resolved to recover. He's responding, but still struggling with the pain and fighting off infection. He's not talking very much, but he is talking. He has smiled, and he's doing everything he can, possibly to stay alive. He's a champ, said someone. Doctors are going to be talking about how incredibly lucky he was that the bullet didn't hit his heart for a long time. It's almost dead center, so it's incredible. He must have had an angel watching over him that night, the person stated. They're also talking about gun violence. And again, it's unknown how this individual, this 14-year-old, got the gun. It's unknown what the situation was at this point. This is much more than just the gun. Now, obviously, it's a part of it. Obviously, you know, we have to look at how did a 14-year-old get the gun? How did he possess this gun? But we're way more than that. How does a 14-year-old child, have it in them to not only carry a gun expecting trouble or preparing for trouble or just on the happenstance they came around to trouble?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take out that firearm, stick it in a 12-year-old's chest, and pull the trigger. That's more of the issue here. That mentality that's been allowed to flourish. And, you know, I wish it was as easy as pointing at video games or pointing to single parenthood or a rough upbringing. It's all of the above. But regardless, the adults in the room around these individuals are failing. And that includes, you know, was this a parent's gun that wasn't locked up? Why would this child think it would be okay to just take that and carry it or use it or possess it? And again, put it in another human being's chest and pull the trigger over a dispute, over a fight, whatever it was. We don't know. And hopefully that information comes out, because I think that's important information. What did this come from? Was there a prior beef where this 14-year-old said, I'm going to get a gun, and if they mess me with it again, I'm going to shoot somebody? Because there's the problem right there, that mentality. The fact that that's the level that they were willing to go to so quick. So, yes, the facts, what led up to this, were they involved with any outside organization? Was there influences from gangs? Was there a poor family life? We need to know those things. We need to identify them, because we need to make sure it doesn't happen to another one of our children. And, you know, I know I've talked about this at length this week because it is such a serious, serious issue. I just, before I walked into the studio today, there was New York. Long Island gang bust. 28 alleged gangbangers as young as 15. Indicted for dozens of crimes, shootings, and gun possession. They show them brawling in the mall. They show a table with at least 20-something handguns on it. So this is a Northeast national problem. 28 alleged gangbangers as young as 15 in Long Island. A big Long Island gang bust. I just shared that on my X account from 1010 Winds, our sister station in New York. So it's not just here. It's in a lot of places. They show pictures of these kids, teenagers, young teenagers, pointing guns at the camera. All different races, all different backgrounds, holding hundreds of dollars in cash in their hands. And again, a table with at least 20-something guns on it that have all been taken as evidence in this case. 28 alleged gangbangers as young as 15. Parents are failing, and we need to figure that out. It's 3:32 here at WILK. We'll be back after the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:38, 77 degrees. So we were talking about the adults in the room failing our children. Well, you chalk this up to that. An information technology specialist for the Valley View School District has been charged with groping and sharing sexually explicit material with a minor, according to charges filed in court. This Valley View School District employee faces charges of unlawful contact with a minor and disseminating sexual material to a minor. Valley View Superintendent Brian Durkin said Wednesday that he's been placed on administrative leave pending school board action on his employment. According to the complaint filed by state police, the victim thought of the information technology specialist as a friend who lived nearby and would take him to a train club in Allentown. So they knew each other outside of school. They were neighbors, but he was also an employee of the school district. However, the employee began having sexually explicit conversations with the victim by groping the boy's thighs and buttocks, police said. When the boy told him to stop, the touching ended for a few weeks but then resumed. The boy then reported the employee, stating that he doesn't take no for an answer, according to the complaint. Charges further allege that the victim heard the employee making inappropriate comments about male and female students in his job as an information technology specialist for the Valley View School District. He's also accused of sending the boy pornographic images via Facebook Messenger. Troopers charged the employee with 3 counts of unlawful contact with a minor, 19 counts of disseminating sexual images to a minor, and one count each for indecent assault on a minor, corruption of a minor, and endangering the welfare of a minor. The magisterial district judge arraigned the employee on charges Tuesday afternoon, set bail for $125,000. He's being held at Luzerne County Correctional Facility with a preliminary hearing scheduled for May 13th. So when we talk about the adults surrounding our children failing, you know, here's a big example of that. This individual failed not only this child, but every other child that he came or had the position to work around. Someone like this should not be around children. Thankfully, is now facing a court for his alleged crimes. Again, he's innocent until proven guilty. These are just allegations at this point. But it just goes to show that we need to do better. We need to do better in vetting people. And again, it's kind of hard to see inside somebody, but we need to do the best we can. But, you know, when we wonder why do kids do the things they do or why do they go off the path that they do, sometimes it's not just parents, and it's the environment they're in. You know, this being in this environment from someone he allegedly trusted because he was a neighbor and did nice things for him by taking him, you know, had an interest, a mutual interest in trains. But was it for the proper reasoning? Was it to truly, you know, mentor this child? Obviously not. It was to put him in the position to groom and abuse, allegedly. So I'm glad this person's off the street for now. It's 3:41 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I was in the station early today. I got here about 9:30 this morning at the station. Earliest I think I've ever been here. We'll talk about why in a little bit. But, you know, since I was here, I decided to go grab some lunch locally, and I headed down to Sabatelli's. Saw Jason and the crew down there. All lively, doing and living their best life. Got myself a turkey provolone, lettuce, tomato, onions, some oil, vinegar, and a little mayo on it. Dynamite. Got myself a birch beer soda, too. Birch beer soda. I haven't had one of them in a while. I saw it. It was local. Pure sugar cane in it. I was like, yep, that's what I feel like today since I'm going to be here all day. So it was great seeing Jason and the crew. You know, they had a rough go of it with that fire next door that put them on the DL list for a little bit, but they're back at it now. Place is great. Everyone was in there, smiles, working hard, getting those stuffed chicken breasts ready. So if you head in there, tell Jason that Rob O'Donnell said hi. He'll get a kick out of that. Good people there. Great crew down there. So yeah, check them out. I know you all go there as well, but the sandwich was outstanding. It feels good. Usually I don't eat lunch, but I had a good one today. So King's College students have been displaced after the city shutters a building. Yeah, that stinks, doesn't it? Code officials from the city of Wilkes-Barre declared an off-campus apartment building unsafe. The city received a call about water from the roof leaking into an apartment in a building at 16-22 East Union Street, used primarily for student housing, about a month and a half ago. The mayor said Wednesday during a phone interview with him, the city building code official Dan Krantz. Previously, the office building in the former Phoenix Plaza was converted to apartments and is now owned by Janta Raja LLC and Janta Rani LLC, two Center Valley-based limited liability companies, and Cathal Realty LLC with an Allentown mailing address, according to Luzerne County Assessment Records. Kurtz says that he and other inspectors went to check on the matter shortly after the complaint was called in. While walking through the building, we noticed some obvious violations, such as open junction boxes, plumbing lines that weren't, in my opinion, professionally installed, along with some other issues. So I reached out to our third-party inspection company, and they devoted an hour or so to go through the building with us. Officials created a punch list of items that needed to be corrected, and about 1 to 2 weeks ago, the property manager, Property Management, contacted the code office asking when officials would reinspect the building. On Tuesday, Krantz, two City Health Department inspectors, and three inspectors from BHW conducted a reinspection. During yesterday's walk through, A lot of the items on our original punch list were still not addressed, and other concerns surfaced, such as a fire alarm system that was not working in the entire building. It wasn't recalling the elevator, which is a major concern, and the elevator did not have any current certification, Grant said. Some building egress components were not operable, including two egress doors that were locked. They said the reason they locked those egress doors was to keep the homeless out of the building, and I said, well, if there's an emergency, the fire department's going to have to break down those doors. Grant said the inspectors also found the roof was leaking in multiple areas, and the property manager has yet to sign a contract with a contractor for repairs. They also discovered the building has 20 or 21 apartments, but it's zoned for only 15 or 16. Kranz posted the building as being unfit for occupancy and notified residents they would have to find other living accommodations. He approximated about 20 residents were displaced. Normally, residents would have until 5 p.m. to retrieve personal effects and vacate the premise, but the time was extended a few hours as a courtesy because the inspection occurred in the afternoon. Could you imagine that? Inspectors come into your, you know, I understand as a student, you probably don't have a whole lot in there, but you still have some stuff. They tell you you have till 5 o'clock. Now they did extend it here. That's a good thing on their part. But I mean, okay, you got to be out by 10 o'clock tonight. Could you pack your entire apartment by 10 o'clock tonight? Probably not. And it's good to see the city of Wilkes-Barre on top of this. It's a shame that these companies, you know, prey on these college kids and don't maintain the property. And actually, in this case, put them in a dangerous situation or a potentially dangerous situation. So that's why city inspectors are there. That's why they do these things. And thankfully, someone called and said, hey, the roof's leaking, because that's how they started to catch all these other things that could be very tragic. Could you imagine a building with 20 or some odd college kids have a tragedy there? We don't need that in our area. So good work for the city of Wilkes-Barre. And hopefully this company does what they need to do or get out of the business. It's as simple as that. It's coming up on 3:50 here on WILK. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So that was the last song this morning at 10 a.m. on KRZ, where our good friend Rocky Rhodes, after 45 years on the air, had his last broadcast today on our sister station. It was a really great send-off. The entire station came in, all employees. Even me at that god-awful early morning hour came in, and when he came out of the studio, everyone lined the studio from the hallways from the studio to his office and gave him a nice round of applause, some hugs, some handshakes, and it was a great send-off to an outstanding career. Rocky's an outstanding individual. Again, we work two ends of the spectrum on the day. He's here from 5 in the morning till 10 o'clock. You know, I get here about 2 and I'm on from 3 to 6. So, you know, we see each other at events, we see each other at parades, but other than that, we really don't grace the halls that often together. So it was good to come in and honor a legend, because he truly is a legend in radio in this area. 45 years in this business, I don't know how he did it, and I'm going to ask myself that every day, especially with the ongoings of the radio business. But if you see him out and about, thank him for his time on the radio. Thank him for the memories you have him. If you listen to KRZ, because I'm sure he's going to have a lot of plans and time for the things that he loves to do. Jake, you got some stuff to play.
I mean, I could look for some stuff right now, but you know, the word that comes to mind when I think of Rocky is definitely class. And when it was sort of when they sort of hinted at this on their Facebook page on Sunday, when it was, you know, Rocky has a personal announcement at 7 a.m. on Monday, I kind of had the feeling that this is what it was going to be. As you talked about, Rob, 45 years in radio is just outstanding in itself. It's truly remarkable. And I mean, the tribute earlier today, I mean, that's the ultimate send off. That's the ultimate sign of respect. Not very many people get those opportunities to go out in that fashion and that style like he did and earn it the way that he did. And I think also what comes to mind is when, you know, when someone retires, when it's the end of an era as it is today, you know, a lot of times you have like a big party, big send off, and with Rocky, you know, I think he certainly appreciated that. But
he's low key. He didn't want any of that.
Yeah,
he is low key.
That was sort of hinted in all the emails that we received about it, and you know, it's pretty surreal to think. I mean, here I was 14 years ago as an intern at KRZ, and I remember getting to meet him for the first time and work with him a couple times here and there, and I think that's the one word that will always stand out to me is class.
45 years on the air, 35 of them at KRZ.
Yeah.
And you know, when we came in, it was funny. And when you get the afternoon guys coming, it was me, Jeff Walker, and Crockett. Jeff Walker from KRZ, Crockett from Froggy, and me. We're all the 3 to 6, 3 to 7 crew. Yeah. And everybody's looking at us like, you guys going to be okay? Like, who are like, I'm looking at employees. I'm like, who are these people? I don't even know some of these people. So it was a great send off and truly a legend.
Truly a legend.
I'm glad I had the opportunity for the past couple of years to work with him and to see him do his thing, to see him out in the public. It's just incredible.
Yeah, terrific send off. And there's so many things that come to mind, like they've alluded to on their social media accounts over the past couple of days, whether it was Bras Across the Bridge. I remember that when I was an intern here in 2011. I also remember the things that he did with St. Vincent de Paul, the soup kitchen around that time.
Got in a little trouble for an April Fool's joke that went a little crazy. But that just shows how the business has changed. And he talks about that, how, you know, we used to do things back in the day of radio. And again, we're talking 45, 30 years ago, you know, and ask for forgiveness afterwards. Now you got to go through hoops and corporate OKs and this and that. And you know, it's nuts. It's sure truly is. Nuts now. But he withstood it all.
He sure did. EJ?
Yeah, he did. This is a family business to me. I'm the third generation in radio in my family, and I got to tell you, I grew up, my mom worked for the competition at the top 40 in the competition, so we would listen to KRZ all the time trying to figure out what they were doing, and I listened every single morning to Rocky and Sue, and then Lissa came along, and it was so fun, and I told myself, you know, I want to be in radio because my family does it, and I like doing it, but also, like, the guys like Walker, and especially Rocky, who I listened to more, they made me be this. Like, this is what I wanted to be. This is what I wanted to do. And just listening to them have fun, they were just so professional about it. And Rocky really shows that professionalism. And the fact that for 35 years, this isn't an easy job. I mean, sometimes there's some tough things you have to do. And for him, mornings, waking up every single morning, but knowing that you have to put that smile on your face, and he does, and he made everybody else in the room or whoever listening smile and laugh, and even if you're really tired, I mean, my goodness.
I could wake up early if I had to. I don't know if I could listen to top 40 music for 45 years. That would be my downside.
And at one point was good. I'm going to be honest with you. At one point it was pretty good, but now I can understand where he's coming from, and he's going to get to sleep in.
That's the biggest part. Biggest part. He's going to kayak more. He's going to spend some time with his rescue dogs and you know, do the things on his terms. And he's earned it. So
yes, he did.
Rocky Rose, congratulations to you. It's going to be sad not seeing you in the hallways or at events, but I'm sure we'll cross paths from here and then. Coming up on 4 o'clock here on WILK, we got some great guests coming in after the 4 o'clock hour.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.